This is an audio recording of the summer 2016 9th through 12th grade Sisters Conference held in Richardson, Texas. The Progress of the Church in Seven Stages. Saturday, August 6th, Evening Meeting. Message 7, The Church in Laodicea.
What does God in His desire want? What does Christ want for His bride? What does He want? In terms of all the stages, there should be something that Christ says, that's what I want. So of the churches so far that we've covered, where would you say, if you were Christ, where would you land? Philadelphia, right? You just look at it. Philadelphia. Why? I would say one thing. They're simple. And they just came back to what God wanted. They're just simple. They're just like Acts chapter 2. They're just taking food with simplicity of heart. They're loving the brothers. It's the church life that God desired. Amen. Right? For Christ. So Philadelphia, the church of brotherly love, this is what the Lord wants. Philadelphia is what the Lord wants. Amen. What do you want? We want what the Lord wants. Just like the song we sang. He's not going to force you to choose. It's up to you to choose. Will you choose to be an overcomer? You have a will. You want to be where Philadelphia is? It's up to you. The revelation is too clear, right? So, once the Lord got Philadelphia, don't you think He was happy? Oh my goodness. And at the time, maybe on your ride back or this next couple of weeks, you should go read the details of the ones that were in that period of time and the Lord recovering, right? The riches. Not only with Sardis, but eventually Philadelphia, the brothers enjoying the riches according to the pure word. The Lord was there. Amen. The Lord was with them. Amen. In a very sweet way. So, sisters, where do you want to be? Where do you want to be? You want to be in Philadelphia? Amen. Every believer should be in Philadelphia. Amen. God's heart is that all His people would be His bride. Right? So, in part, it's up to us. In part, it's up to us, okay? So it's quite striking. He gains Philadelphia, and we saw the characteristics there. I just enjoyed a couple of quick points just to retouch these points. Philadelphia, the characteristic is they have a little power. They've kept my word, and they've not denied my name. Amen. If I would have asked you, what does the Lord want? And He would give you a list. Give me a list of the criteria of what the Lord wants for His church. How simple can you be? Little power, keep the Lord's word, and do not deny His name. That's all He wants. That's everything. Amen. Right? It's not a small thing to be in Philadelphia. Right? So, it's like, if God gained what He's after, why doesn't the revelation of the progression of the churches stop with Philadelphia? Why is there another church? And it doesn't look like it's going in the right direction. It's starting to go down again. I mean, if the Lord gains what He's after, come back. The Lord gets what He wants. Wouldn't you say, I'm coming? But it didn't take very long for the degradation to come back in. So this is really, I would say, a healthy warning for us. How many stages of the church that the Lord has gone through, right, to gain what He's after, but yet it didn't last very long. And then there's degradation that set in again. So Anyway, I hope the Lord speaks to us this evening and causes us to have an appreciation of what He wants, and that we would choose what He wants. And we would, like Philadelphia, we would keep it. Right? Something precious to you, you hang on to. Right? So there's an aggressive, active exercise. You know, in Ephesians, it says it's all about the progression of standing. It's not fighting, it's just standing. You sit first, you walk, but then eventually you have to stand. And like, standing, that's it? Yep, just stand. Not that easy to stand. Right? Why? Because the enemy doesn't want to allow the Lord to gain what he's after. So, Philadelphia is very, very precious. It's simple. Little power. Kept my word. Not deny my name. Wow. Yet it's so difficult to just remain there. Why? Because all the forces of hell are against it. The enemy's not for it. So there's a battle. Right? There's a constant battle. So anyway, we come to Philadelphia. And in the recovery version, the title of this actually, it says, and this is always a little bit unusual, we would say Philadelphia is the recovered church. What does Christ want? He wants the recovered church. Recovered what? Recovered back to the beginning. Actually, if you would have looked at Acts chapter 2, you could say, little power, kept my word, did not deny my name. That's what they were. They were in the reality of what the Lord wanted. The Lord brought forth the church. The believers were loving one another. They were loving one another to the extent they said, here, brothers, take all my possessions. I just want to be for Christ. Distribute it among whoever needs anything. And if anybody else needs anything, give it to them too. They all just said, here's all our wealth. What do you need? They just all poured in. Money was nothing to them. They saw something. They were brought into the reality. Christ was their everything. Amen. They had no worries. They're going to give it up. They think, no, I'm not going to have one bit of worry. Whatever I need will be supplied. What realm were they in? They threw it all in. They were crazy lovers of Jesus. They gave everything. You can't hardly get my wallet out of my back pocket now. Don't get close to my wallet. They poured out everything. And you know what? My goodness, read Acts chapter 2. They're full of praise. Full of thanksgiving. Simplicity. Enjoying. And it says, day by day, the Lord was adding to them. That's normal. The normal, simple church life is, the Lord just adds. They're like, what is going on with those people? I want what they have. That's the church. That's the reality of what the Lord wants. It's brotherly love. It's brotherly love. And it was very real. It wasn't let's practice the church. No, they were living in the reality of enjoying Christ. And they were pouring out everything. And it says thousands were being saved. What's going on? The Lord's life was being released, and there were members receiving and enjoying. Wow, what a precious beginning. But we saw it didn't last very long. End of the first century, heading down. Okay, now he gets Philadelphia. It's back to the beginning. It's the recovered church. Don't you think he would be like, oh, we're out of the dark ages. My word's released. And we're coming up. And then there's these dear brothers that are enjoying the word, and they see, wow, let's get out of that thing. Get out of all the names. Let's just take our Lord as the name. That's it. And they're enjoying and being refreshed. What is going on now? You know what happened? A lot of the same things that happened in Acts chapter 2 happened at that time. A lot of people were being affected dynamically. There were whole areas of the country, people were being revived. Why? Because they came out of everything. They wanted what the Lord had, and the Lord was with them in a real way. Don't you think the Lord was happy? Oh my. The Lord was so happy. Wow! Don't you think the enemy thought, oh my goodness, it's not going to be long. They're going to be with him coming and throwing me in the lake of fire. I better do something. I got to do something. I'm not ready to go yet. I'm going to stir something up. Like, well, no. How come it's not the revelation of the churches in six stages? Good enough. But it's seven. It's because this is the church's experience. This is where we are. This is what transpires, right? So, with Laodicea, let's just read through the verses here. It says it's a foreshadow of, listen, the degraded, recovered church life. Because the church life was recovered. They had what the Lord wanted. The recovered church became degraded. It got back to what the Lord wants. What does the Lord still want today? He still wants Philadelphia. Amen. He going to change his mind? No. He's going to come up with a new little, let me come up with new criteria? No, he's still looking for those dear ones with a little power, not denying his name. No. Right? Keeping to his word. No. He's not going to change. He still wants that. Well, the recovered church goes to Laodicea. It degrades. And you think, how in the world could that happen? Because you have to remember, Sardis was this realization that Thyatira is not what we are and not what we want. And so there was this strong reaction. We've been in dark ages for too long. And they saw, we're out of that. And so they started coming out. And they what? Also, the Lord really was with them for a short period of time. It was a good reaction. The Lord was reacting. Some of us need to have some reaction. You guys are too calm. You don't know where you are in history. You act like this is all old stuff. We're at the end of the age. The Lord wants to come back. We should have some feeling about it. Anyway, there's this reaction of Sardis. We're out of it. But not long, what are they doing? State churches are being raised up. Another name is... So they didn't make it very far. Then there was another reaction. Some reaction in some brothers. They saw, no, that is not right. That's not what the Lord wants. That's not the way it was in Acts chapter 2. I don't see the state German church. I don't see the Anglican church. That's not in the Bible. What's in the Bible? Brothers meeting. Enjoying fellowship. Doesn't matter your culture, your race, your language. It doesn't matter. Believers in Christ, in the new man. All are enjoying. But it didn't last long. Right? Okay. By the Lord's mercy, it didn't stop. Right? Eventually the Lord gained a testimony of what he desired. So you would think, good enough. And actually, I would just love for the conference to end there. Why not let's just all go home, Philadelphia, hallelujah. Because that's what God wants, and that's what the Lord wants. But it doesn't. You know what? We better get this one. We better get this one. This is, listen, sisters, this is the danger for all of you. I don't think any of you are going to go, I'm going to the Catholic Church. I'm in Catholic Church. No, not one. And somebody, oh yeah, sure, let me go back to taking a name other than Mrs. Jesus Christ. That would really please the Lord. Take another name. No. None of us are going to go, yeah, let's go back into degradation. We've seen too much. Sorry. You can't. Even if you wanted to, you couldn't go back in. They'd kick you out. You have too much revelation. Thank the Lord. Sometimes you got to get kicked out. But anyway, so if you say, so what is your option? What is your, you know, you think, oh, I was born here. I didn't even choose to come here. I just, whoop, I'm here. What happened to me? I didn't get kicked out of Thyatira. You know, I wasn't in the, you know, how did I get here? Oh, I'm here now. Oh, like, where am I? Oh, I'm just here. What are you doing here? Oh, I don't know. My mom, my dad, I'm just here. Well, you better find out what's here. Find out what's here. Because people have given their lives for you to be here. Like, oh, really? Yeah. Poured out their lives for you to be here. And you're like, really? I don't know any of them. Well, anyway, a lot has gone before, like we've seen. And my point related to the reading, a lot of the additional reading relates to Philadelphia. So I'd encourage you, spend some time in the car, even tonight. Go back and read some portions on Philadelphia, okay? Very, very, very touching. The history of the ones that the Lord raised up that paid a lot to recover what the Lord desired. Listen, we wouldn't know anything about Philadelphia. Even it's in the Bible. And men prior to us, they had no idea what God wanted as the church. But you know what? Men paid the price. And they got the revelation, and they wrote it, and they spoke about it, and were made aware of it. We could be in darkness and not have any idea what is Philadelphia. It'd be like, you know, somebody's talking German. You're like, oh, I don't know. I don't know what they're saying. But you know what? We have some understanding. Amen. And we have some appreciation. Amen. Why? It's mercy. Amen. It's just the Lord's mercy. Amen. What does the Lord want? The Lord wants those that have a little power. Amen. And keep His word. Amen. And not deny His name. That's not that easy to do. Okay, so it's the recovered, it's the recovered, degraded, the degraded, recovered church. It's what God wants, and then yet it still degrades. Like, no! You get your bride, and then she decides, I'm going to take another name. What? This is serious stuff. You know what? Laodicea, the Lord doesn't have one positive thing to say about her. Whoa! Like, what? Look, she's higher than Thyatira and Sardis and Pergamos. Come on! At least one positive thing. Not one positive thing. Whoa! Okay, so listen, sisters. You might not even realize that you've been born into Philadelphia, but the danger is that you sisters, the biggest danger is that you would slide into Laodicea. Not even realizing it. Up, heading into Laodicea. Okay, so we need to see this church to have an awareness. As soon as any of these characteristics are in your being, you should revolt. You should say, no, I'm not going there. Why? Because I know where it's going. It's going down away from Philadelphia. I don't want to go there. I choose to be an overcomer. I'm not going. No, sorry, I'm not going there. It's up to you. But you don't know where the slide's to. So you're sliding down and you're just like, whoa. Oh, isn't it nice down here? You have no idea where you're going. Listen, you know where you're going? You're going away from the Lord. And you're going away from the Lord's presence. What? I don't want that. Do you want that? Okay, so let's look at the verses. Messenger of the church in Laodicea, right? These things says, remember, the Lord unveils who He is that meets the need of that church. Okay, and it firstly says, He says what? These things says, the Amen. Do you know that's the Lord's name? The Amen. And people are like, why do you say Amen so much? It's the Lord's name. Amen. The Amen. It says He's the Amen. Like, why? How does the Amen meet Laodicea? What's the Amen about? The word amen means firm. It means steadfast. It means trustworthy. What does Laodicea need? It needs to stand firm. It needs to be steadfast. To remain in Philadelphia. It needs the amen. Amen. Him saying, I'm the amen, means they're not.
That's right.
They're not firm. Amen. They're not steadfast. They're not trustworthy. That's sobering. They're enjoying Philadelphia. They shouldn't be just, oh, well, whatever. Slide on down. No, how about stand firm? Well, take the Lord as the amen.
Amen.
He's the amen. So, sisters, you should practice this. Speak to the Lord as the amen. Say, Lord, thank you. You're my amen.
Amen.
You're my steadfastness.
Amen.
You're my trustworthiness.
Amen.
You're my firmness.
Amen.
If I have you, no problem. I'll remain in Philadelphia.
Amen.
If I don't have you as the amen, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to be untrustworthy. I'm going to be what? Not steadfast. So he is the amen. Lord, thank you for being my amen.
Amen.
Let's pray that. Lord.
Thank you for being my amen.
Okay, he's the faithful and true witness. He's faithful. Laodicea, you're not faithful. What are you doing? He's faithful. He's the true witness. We need him. You want to remain in Philadelphia? Take him as the faithful and true witness. Right? And then he's the beginning of the creation of God. What does this have to do with? This has to do with he's the source even of the creation of God. You know what they were doing? They started to take another source. Oh, Lord Jesus. So he's just three things to the church in Laodicea. He's the amen, faithful and true witness, and the beginning of the creation of God. Big points, right? So then he tells them, I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. Their works are neither cold nor hot. To us, we're like, what is he talking about? Cold or your works are not cold or hot. Your works? Like, is your body temperature? You know, like, what is your works not being cold or hot? It's what the church was in their living. They weren't cold or hot. Like, well, what does that matter? Well, let's see. I wish. Now, he tells you what he wants you to be. I wish. The Lord has something that he wants. I wish that you were cold or hot. Be something. You're not cold or hot. I wish you were cold. Or I wish you were hot. So because you are lukewarm, that's the definition. What you are is lukewarm. Not a really sweet word at all. What's the first work that comes out of the first love? I hope it's not lukewarm. Oh, you have a bride. Oh, she's lukewarm about you. Really? Yeah, sometimes she's kind of cold, then sometimes she's kind of hot. She really doesn't have much feeling. What? Okay, be cold or be hot? Okay, physically, I'm always hot. My wife is always freezing. She's cold and I'm hot. We're clear. But don't be lukewarm. It's almost like he said, what can I do with you? You don't even know, do you love or do you not love? You're lukewarm. Well, you know, it's kind of sunny. I guess I kind of love. Oh, it's cloudy. I don't think I love. Well, you're lukewarm. It says because you are. Now he tells you what you are. You're neither hot nor cold, neither cold nor hot. Now he's going to tell you. You know what you are? You're lukewarm. Okay. If you get exposed by the Lord speaking, what you should just do is agree with the Lord and say, Lord, if that's the case, you're right. I am lukewarm. You know what that would do? Cause you to be hot right away. That's repentance. The Lord shines on you, says you are this. You should say, you're right, Lord, I'm hot now. But you know what? It doesn't affect her. You're neither cold or hot, hot or cold. You're lukewarm. No response. That's what lukewarm people do. Doesn't affect me. Yeah, lukewarm. And neither hot or cold. You're lukewarm, you're neither hot or cold. How many times are you going to say hot or cold? Are you getting it? Hot or cold. I wish you were one or the other. And then he says, I'm about to spew you out of my mouth. Okay, we don't understand terminology like this. Because to us, we just think of the grotesque experience of somebody spitting. We're like, we're in the Lord's mouth. I don't know if I'd like to be there. Okay, it's purposefully causing your whole being to kind of stop and go, like, what is that experience like? It was like spit out of his mouth. Okay, the essence of it is, you know what you do? Have you ever spit anything out of your mouth? You know why? You don't like it. Actually, in essence, it's a testimony of rejection. You go, bah! When I was a kid, we grew up in Indonesia. We ate all kinds of foods, crazy kind of foods. One time they cooked this food. They said, eat this food. You knew after a period of time, don't ever ask what the food is. Just eat the food. Later we found out, no, it wasn't deer meat. It was dog meat. But we already ate the food. So I couldn't go, bah! But anyway. Then another time, my mom one time had this can of ravioli. Ravioli. Oh. She heated it up. She put it on the table. And we bit into it. And it was not ravioli. It was like this spice mix that tasted so gross. It was like somebody had processed the ravioli and didn't put the right ingredients together. Okay, there was no problem. Out it came. With joy and thanksgiving. And I've never eaten ravioli since. Sometimes I go to the restaurant with my wife and she has a bad experience. And I had a great experience. And I say, oh, it's dear, let's go there. And she goes, we're not doing it. I go, come on. We're not going there. It just takes one time. She had a bad experience. We go home. It's not good. And I said, come on, they're good. You just had a bad, not going back. What if the Lord said, I'm not coming back to you? What if he said he rejects you because you can't be hot or cold? That's serious. Are you picking up the seriousness? Actually, in spiritual terms, it's basically, he says, you can no longer participate in the enjoyment of who I am. That's what he's saying. You're neither hot nor cold. You don't want to be in this sweet communion with me, so it's over. He says, I am about to do this. He hasn't done it, but I'm about to. You know, he's about to do it. You're about to lose this opportunity of a sweet enjoyment with the Lord. Why? Because you're lukewarm. Spew you out of my mouth. Okay. Then it comes to, well, why would he do such a thing? Or we could say, what produced them to be lukewarm? How did that happen? Well, it tells you. Firstly, it says what? Because you say, wow. Because you say. Okay, the Lord told him, I'm the Amen. I'm the faithful and true witness. I'm the beginning of the creation of God. And they're going to respond and say something to him. And they're telling people, you say. Somehow Laodicea, somehow these believers are going around and saying some things. Whenever somebody has to say something to you, it already shows that they're full of pride. They got to prove to you. Paul, let me tell you, you know, I know more than you. What? Why do you have to say? The church is the church because of Christ. The church should be filled with Christ. Does the church need to go around and say, you know, we have it. We have it. You guys see what we have? What? Everything you have came from the church. Came from Christ. Why do you have to say anything? So what do they say? I'm wealthy. Really? Wow. The Lord just called you lukewarm and you're saying, I'm wealthy. Wow, you're really deceived. You're really in a fog. You really don't know your condition, right? I'm wealthy and I've become rich. And I have, listen, need of nothing. What does that sound like? Tree of knowledge of good and evil. I got everything. I don't need anything anymore. I got all the knowledge I need. I don't need any. Even, I don't need Christ. What? You're produced out of Christ. And now you've become proud with the knowledge of Christ and of the Bible. And you said, I have need of nothing. This is what happened with Laodicea. The brethren, they got filled with vain knowledge. It became vain knowledge. It was the Bible. It was the revelation of the Bible concerning Christ. But they were so strong in their knowledge and understanding and forms, doctrines. This thing, that thing. And eventually, you know what? It became, what is it? They're opinionated. They're judging the people and the laymen. That's what the name means. They were filled with a knowledge, a vain knowledge, where eventually, listen, they're doing what happened they came out of. Yeah, they're not doing clergy lady, but that's what they're practicing. They're saying, we know, we have, we're wealthy, we're rich. They're full of pride. This is the scary part. What does that sound like? Who fell because of pride? That's how Satan, he says, I will, I will, I will. I don't need God. God needs to worship me. It's scary. It's serious. And yet, the knowledge that they were filled up with came out of the Bible. And it's supposed to cause them to be in this sweet relationship with Christ. And yet they're holding on to now the form and the doctrine of what it is. And where's Christ? They're not hot or cold. It's made them lukewarm. That's why we say a little knowledge is dangerous. Because it causes your heart to go cold toward the Lord. Right? Okay, so it says, I'm wealthy, I've become rich, I have need of nothing. And do not know that you are what? This is the real situation. That you don't know this. Because you say you're wealthy, you're rich, you don't know what your situation is. This is his assessment. You're lukewarm and you're wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. What? Remember, golden lampstand. Golden lampstand. But the condition is in pretty bad shape. And it didn't take that long. After the 19th century, the brethren were recovered, and it wasn't that long. They faded into this miserable situation. There was this sweet fellowship of the brothers. They began to meet and enjoy the Lord. And then they began to get to know things of the Bible, which were precious and sweet. And they did have not just knowledge, but some experience of the Lord. But they kept digging and kept enjoying and kept getting into the Word. And eventually what happened? It became just knowledge. And they lost the experience, the sweetness, the enjoyment. Till what is the end result? Wretched. What's the definition of wretched? Extremely or deplorably bad or distressing. It's not a sweet word. My wife is miserable or wretched. What? Hi. How about miserable? Being in a pitiful state of distress. But the sad part is they don't even know it. This is your state and you're not even aware of it. Poor and blind and wretched, okay, and naked. Okay, we'll get into the details. I counsel you to buy, so you should circle that word. Up on the top, actually where it says you're neither hot nor cold, you should do hot. And that actual word means boiling. Boiling. So, concerning the matter of cause you to buy, right? So they needed to pay a price. What do they need to buy? They need to buy gold refined by fire. We'll get into the details of what that means. That you may be rich. Do you remember one of the other churches earlier? The Lord actually accounted to that church that they were rich. Do you remember which one? It was early on. Who did the Lord said, you are rich? Which one? It's amazing which one. Yeah, it was Smyrna. Definitely. You know why? Listen, you know what suffering produces in you? The reality of the experience of Christ. Amen. And that's rich. Amen. They were filled with experiences of Christ. Amen. That's what's rich. Amen. Not your doctrine, not your knowledge about Christ, but the genuine experiences. So you know what this buying here? Actually, this buying refers to that. What they needed to buy, they needed to pay a price. What kind of price do they need to pay? They need to pay a price to go through the trials to genuinely experience and enjoy Christ in a subjective way. They needed to buy. They just gained head knowledge, doctrinal forms, this thing and that thing. But they had no genuine experience of Christ. So they needed to buy. Okay, buy indicates what? A price. Okay, tomorrow, sisters, don't miss tomorrow's meeting. You're going to hear a number of testimonies about how men have paid their lives to be in Philadelphia. They've given themselves. They paid a price. And that paying a price was not cheap. To buy, it cost something. Some of you think, I was just born here. I didn't pay any price. One day you'll have to make a choice. We hope you do it in your high school years. Don't wait till later. Like tonight, one of the sisters pray, I choose to be an overcomer. Amen. Do it. Choose now. Choose while you're in high school. It's up to you. The price will come. You'll think, oh, I can never do that. Don't worry about the price. Do you think Mary goes, oh, I don't want to pour out on the Lord because it's too costly? She poured out everything and didn't think one bit about it. It's everybody else that had a problem. They're all like, Mary, need some help with accounting. A whole year's wages, Mary. She had no thought about it. The price to her was nothing. When you see your Lord, pouring out on the Lord is nothing. There's no price that's too high. And that's the lives of the overcomers throughout all the ages of the church history. Men's poured out their lives. And you look at them and you think, how in the world did they do that? It was no problem. No problem. Why? Because they saw the preciousness of who their Lord was. Okay, so we need to be those that heed this word, right? I counsel you to buy from me gold refined by fire that you may be rich, and white garments, that's a buying, you have to buy the white garments, and that you may be clothed, and that the shame of your nakedness may not be manifested. Also a buying of the eye salve, so we'll get into the details. To anoint your eyes that you may see. Okay. This is what's so incredible about who our Lord is. So, how many, Zeke, wretched, miserable, poor, blind, naked, And yet what it says? Those I love. What? Those I love. Lord Jesus, what kind of Lord are you? As many as I love. What a Lord. As many as I love. In this miserable state, He's still pouring out His love. I rebuke and I discipline. What is His heart? His heart is for her to repent. His heart is for her to buy, to gain the riches, right? So it says what? Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. You know that word zealous there? That also means boiling. He says, be boiling and repent. Yeah. So when the Lord says you're lukewarm, you should say, you're right, Lord. I repent. As soon as you do, you know what happens? You become a boiling person. You get filled with a hot desire to pursue after the Lord. He tells her what to do. Repent. Only two churches He doesn't tell to repent. Which two churches does He tell not to repent? Everybody else, repent. Repent, repent, repent. Why? Because degradation, degradation. Okay, two churches, He didn't tell them to repent. Yeah, Smyrna and Philadelphia. There's no need for repentance. Because why? They're in the reality of this relationship with the Lord. Okay, when we hear the word repent, we think, oh, that's what unbelievers do to become a believer. We're like, oh, you know, that's what the Lord did. When the Lord came, John the Baptist said, repent and be baptized. Oh, then the Lord Jesus came and said, repent! And it was related to unbelievers. So, sister, tonight, the Lord is telling you, repent. And you go, Lord, I'm already believed. No, you've degraded. You've gone away from what my heart's desire is. Actually, Christians repent more than unbelievers, right? When you initially get saved, you think, oh man, I'm so thankful and I'm glad I repented. But actually, that's your whole life. The Christian life is a life of repentance. Have you repented today yet? I don't know that you're that good of a Christian. Proper and normal Christians repent all the time. What does repent mean? It means you're going this direction and you're not really quite sure. You're miserable, you're wretched, you're blind, you're naked. You think you're clothed. Yes, Christ is your righteousness objectively, but how about subjectively, your garment, your daily life? Are you living Christ? Are you expressing Christ in your daily life? No, you're not. You're just naked. People see you like, well, there's no righteousness there. Objectively, Christ died for you, but how about in your subjective living? Okay, what do we need to do? We need to repent. We need to have a change. A turn back to the Lord. Okay, so if you haven't repented today, before you go to bed, you better repent. Every believer should repent. Multiple times. Right? So there's this story of this brother, college brother. He's with this older brother who's been caring for him for a long time. And he said, okay, brother, and I really want to pursue. I really want to know how to go on with the Lord. And he said, okay, I know I should eat the word. I know I should love the Lord. I know I should be in the meeting life. I know all those kind of things. He said, what if you just gave me one thing that would help me realize how I could mature quickly? You're older. You're more mature. How did you get all the acceptance? How did you get to where you are? Just give me one thing. What's the difference between you and me? How did you get to the stage of life that you're in? And he said, you know, I would say the difference between me and you is I repent faster. That's the only difference. I don't linger in my failure. I realize the blood of Christ is very effective. And I enjoy it. And I repent all the time. I practice repenting morning, noon, and night because I'm a constant failure. But the Lord's made the provision. So what? I just repent. I don't go, oh, I blew it. Guess I got to wait till the conference next year. Lord Jesus, it's going to be a long year. Wow. Or you just wallow in the fact that you made a mistake. And you just linger. Man, I'm really bad. And then the enemy comes along. Yeah, you are really bad. Repent. Have a change. Come back to the Lord. Come back to fellowship with Him. How about wretched, miserable, poor, blind, naked? I love.
Wow.
What? What? In the midst of all this, he goes, I love. And those I love, I discipline.
Yeah. Right.
When my children were really naughty, I probably loved them the most. Because you know what? I knew they wouldn't stay in that state. That they'd have a turn. How many times have you been in a situation where you're not right with someone, and then you both realized we're both not right, and you apologized? Wow, you became boiling. Your appreciation of the Lord, and that you could apologize and you could repent. And in other words, do you linger in your failure? Oh, I just want to be miserable. I'll stay there. No, change. It's up to you.
Amen.
I love. I discipline you. What are you going to do?
Yeah.
Remain there? Don't remain there. Okay, sisters, this is the danger that we're going to. We want to remain in Philadelphia, but the danger is we couldn't stay fresh with our relationship with the Lord, and eventually we would become proudful, right, in the knowledge of knowing things but not genuinely experiencing. Okay, so then it goes on. What does it say? I have to anoint. Okay. Anoint in the Bible always relates to the Spirit. How do you want to see? Spiritually, how do you see? You need to get the life-giving Spirit.
Amen.
That requires a price.
Yeah.
That means you need to spend some time opening to the Lord.
Amen.
Touching the Lord in the Word.
Amen.
You do that a little bit, the Spirit will come. Right away, your eyes, oh, anointed. And you'll see. They were spiritually blind.
Yeah.
Because they didn't have anything of the reality of the Spirit. That's what they needed, right? So as many as I love, I rebuke and discipline. Be zealous and therefore repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Okay, this verse is used out of context a lot about preaching the gospel, that the Lord is outside and knocking on the door of your heart. It's not a bad verse to use, but that's not what this is about. This is more serious than that. This is the Lord Jesus. He's outside the church. He's not even inside anymore. Because you just said, I have need of nothing. He's outside the church knocking on the door of the church. Whoa. It didn't take long, Philadelphia to Laodicea pretty quick. And now the Lord's outside. The Lord is with the believers in Philadelphia. Oh, it's so sweet, so wonderful, precious. And it's not long the Lord's been, he's outside the church. They don't even know he's outside. Like, who's knocking on the door? They don't even know. He has to tell them, you know that noise that you hear? That's me outside. Then he says, if anyone hears my voice, and this is what's incredible. That's why the Lord uses the principle of the remnant and the overcomers. Because you know what? The whole church in Laodicea doesn't go to the door. Go, wow, the Lord's coming. Let's open the door to the Lord. Actually, most in Laodicea never hear the knock. But he says, if anyone inside, anybody? Anybody in there? Anybody? Just anyone. One. Hello? Anybody? Just one of you. In Laodicea, one. Anyone? His love is anyone. Just one. Start the door. Open the door. And you know what I want to do? Wretched, miserable, poor, blind, naked. You know what I want to do? I want to come in. And I want to dine with you.
Amen.
I brought dinner. What? Anybody? I want to come in. I want to dine. The reason you're all those things is you haven't been dining. I'm your portion. I'm your enjoyment. You haven't been eating. You haven't been feasting. I'm here. I'm ready. I want to come in. It's not a good feeling when the Lord has to knock to get into your life. Well, what can you do? Anyone, open the door. If anyone opens the door, right? Isn't this incredible? If one believer in Laodicea, and there's a call to the overcomers, so we know there are some, they just open the door. What does he do? He says, I come in. I'll come in and dine with him. And he goes, oh, no, it's just one. Sorry, till more of you turn. No, he just won. Just one of you. Incredible. Right? Come in and dine with him and he with me. Then he says, he who overcomes, to him I will what? What a promise. Wretched, miserable, poor, blind, naked. Anyone who overcomes, I will give to sit with me on my throne. What? As I also overcame. The Lord overcame? The Lord had to overcome? Wow. We think the Lord was born an overcomer. He didn't have to overcome. Did he have any failures? What is he overcoming? Like, oh, the Lord's a perfect man. He's sinless. Overcome what? He destroyed the devil? Satan, you're destroyed. My church will throw you in the lake of fire with me shortly. What did he overcome? Well, he overcame a lot as a man. Right? I also overcame. Okay, here's the secret, sisters. You want to be an overcomer? Dine with the overcomer. Amen. Have dinner every night with the overcomer. Hallelujah. What are you doing, sisters? Oh, I'm dining with the overcomer. My company is an overcomer. Who are you inviting to dinner? Who are you opening to? If you would dine with the overcomer, woo! Overcoming is no problem. Right? Then you'll be where he is. Where is he? He's sitting on the throne. He says, oh, join me on the throne. And sat with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Okay. You know, in the progress of the churches, this church also, it says, I will come to them, which indicates that it continues until the end of the age. So, from the point of Thyatira, Sardis, Laodicea, and Philadelphia, all four will continue to the end of this age. Sisters, as believers in Christ, you'll be in one of those four. There's no other option. And actually, in the history, Ephesus eventually became Smyrna, Smyrna became Pergamos, and Pergamos became Thyatira. And actually, all those four are in Thyatira, and they're going. They stopped, but actually, they got into Thyatira, and they'll go to the end. And then Sardis was a reaction to Thyatira, and so Sardis also will go to the end. Philadelphia also will go to the end. Laodicea, falling away from the Lord, will also go to the end. There will be Christians in Laodicea when the Lord returns. And the Lord, do you think he's going to stop? Until the Lord returns, this is what's going to happen in Laodicea. He wants in. He loves them. He wants them to repent. You're going to be in one of these churches. In prophecy, but in reality. In your day-to-day church life. Okay, some of you think, well, I was born here. I had no choice. Okay, now you have a choice. Where do you want to be? You're going to have to make a choice. So, you know, actually, sometimes in the meetings, listen to this. I go through all four stages. I come in and I am, man, I'm in bad shape. Oh, if you just knew what was going on in me. Whew, get out of Thyatira. Get out of that thought. Get out of that. Okay? And then you think, oh, a little recovery. And then you kind of linger there, like, oh, this is pretty good. It's pretty good here. Pretty good here. No, the Lord doesn't want you to stay in that situation. He wants you to be in a loving, sweet relationship. Right? Wasn't that sweet? Philadelphia was back in brotherly love. What does the Lord want? He wants a lover. Be a lover, sisters. Love the Lord with your whole being. No other way so prevailing. Just love Him. So most of the time, we just need to be simple to love Him. Every meeting, love Him. If you do, you'll enjoy this sweet fellowship with Him. Actually, every meeting is a dining. Okay, you know what the sweetest thing about dining with the person that you love is? Their presence. Their presence. You could be eating ravioli that tastes horrible, but if it's the one you love, you'll eat it anyway. It's not the food. It's the presence. You know what the Lord wants? He wants an involved, interactive, sweet fellowship with His bride. That's what He wants. Well, we can cooperate to allow the Lord to gain that. So we need to say, Lord, keep us in Philadelphia. Amen. We don't want to remain, we don't want to go into this degraded. We've been recovered, but we'd go into degradation again? Oh, Lord, have mercy.
Amen.
Okay, so let's look quickly at the points. How about you read to me Roman numeral 1? How about here, this section, and then A, B, and let's rotate around until we go through E. Ready, go. Roman numeral 1, here. The seventh epistle. Okay, A, in the middle section. B, over here. I'll read C. Laodicea in Greek means opinion, judgment. Sisters, be on guard about opinions. Wow. You should be fearful to be so strong to express your opinion. Right? You're in a position you even carry out judgment. That's what they did. So I have a certain understanding of the revelation in the Bible, and I'm fellowshipping with Zeke, and he has a different understanding. And we're both reading the Bible. We're not in Thyatira. We're in fellowship over God's Word. And then Zeke says, no, I don't think that verse means that. And I'm like, Zeke, no, brother, it means this. And Zeke says, no, I don't think so. Okay, Zeke, you go home and study a little bit more, because you're not that clear. And then we come back. Zeke, did you get clear? Okay. Okay, Zeke, if you can't get clear, brother, I can't meet with you. Because you not... Zeke, get clear. What's wrong with you? Okay, this isn't about things... It's nowhere near Thyatira or Sardis. This is about things of God and what God wants to do. And then you get puffed up in the knowledge of what you think you know to the extent that you divide yourself. You say, Zeke, I can't meet with you anymore because your thought and your doctrine and your idea about the rapture is off. It's not right. See ya. You stay over there. I'll stay over here. What? Where are you going? You're going down again. You're leaving God's presence. So now it's not even about the Lord. It's about I know and you don't know. So you know what? I pass judgment on you. So now I'm the closed brethren and he's the open brethren. What? What happened to not taking a name?
Yeah, really.
Closed and open. What? What are you doing, brothers? Wake up! And you know what? There's thousands of brethren assemblies now. They're all divided. Everywhere. All over. And they're going to be all the way to the end. Determined and right. In the life studies, when Brotherly wrote this point, at one time he was with the brethren for 7 years. So he knew what he was talking about. And then he would go back and visit. And he was said, at one period in time, he got so much help from the revelation of the Word and what he saw. They had some light. They had some enjoyment. There was some truth there. something definite. And then he said he would go back and visit. And when he was with them, he eventually realized the Lord's presence had left. But they're still arguing about the truths of the Bible. It was like, whoa, what's going on? They became degraded about biblical things that was unlocked in the Word. We're not talking about heretical, pagan. This is things that are in the Bible, and now they're contending with one another. You know what that brings in? Degradation. It brings in lukewarmness. It brings in a blindness where you don't even realize where you are. Okay, so let's go. D, we're over here. Sisters, brothers and sisters, less than one century.
After the Lord recovered the proper church in the early part of the 19th century, some of the recovered assemblies, called such by the brethren, became degraded.
Okay, middle section E, the degraded. Okay, I'll go to Roman numeral 2. Concerning the prophetic characteristics of Laodicea, to Laodicea the Lord is, like I mentioned, the Amen, the firm, steadfast, and trustworthy one, the faithful and true one. Then three, he's the beginning of the creation of God. He's the source. Okay? Then B, here it is. The condition of Laodicea on the positive side. Let's get the list. There's not a single positive point. It's shocking. They have biblical knowledge. They're full of the things of the Bible. They have all the Reformation. They're clear about justification by faith. These aren't people in Thyatira that are worshiping Mary. These are people that understand something about the revelation in the Word. And the Lord has nothing positive to say about them? It's like, what? It just shows you how serious it is. The Lord wants Philadelphia. Right? He treasures Philadelphia. Right? See, the condition of Laodicea on the negative side. They're neither cold nor hot. He wishes that they would be what? Cold or hot. Then he tells them what they are. They are lukewarm. And they're neither hot nor cold. How did they become lukewarm? They became lukewarm eventually because of their vain knowledge of the Word and their doctrines with forms. Something positive, but no reality. They do not know that they're wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. What are they poor in? They're poor in the experiences of Christ and the spiritual reality of God's economy. They know about Christ, but they have no experience of Christ. What are they blind? They lack true spiritual sight, insight. They have nothing of the Spirit. There's no reality of the Spirit. It's all objective, doctrinal knowledge. Where's Christ as the Spirit in their spirit? They don't have it. No genuine experience. In the Bible, it says knowledge puffs up. Love builds up. They became puffed up. They became full of pride. They're naked. What does this mean? Shows that they did not live Christ as their subjective righteousness. You know, there's two garments. There's two garments. The subjective righteous experience of the Lord produced the wedding garment. They were naked. They didn't realize it. Okay? Then D, the Lord's charge. What is this charge? I counsel. Let's read one all together. Ready, go. I counsel. Okay, buy indicates price. Okay? And then gold, this is very, very, you need to pick up this point. We all at least should be aware, we're clear, that gold represents and signifies the divine nature. Every time we talk about gold, we go divine nature. Like we talked about, the nature or the substance of the lampstand was gold. And gold is God's nature. Okay, but in this particular instance, Yes, it relates to the divine nature, but also in the New Testament, and you can take these verses down, gold also has this meaning that it's your operating, working faith. So if you have your Bible, look at Galatians 5, 6. Obi, can you read it to us? Galatians 5, 6. Gold is, listen, your operating, working faith. Galatians 5, 6. Okay, listen, sisters.
For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision avails anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith avails, operating through love.
How does it operate? So faith avails, and it operates through love. Okay? So, how do we get the golden nature into us in experience? Obi, how about 2 Peter 1, verse 1, and then verse 4 and 5. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1, and then verse 4 and 5. We need to get the nature of God into us. How does it happen? Listen, the key missing ingredient of Laodicea is they didn't have any operating faith. They need to cause the reality of what they were studying to become constituted into them. But what? They just remained in the mind, remained in their knowledge. Okay, what is 2 Peter 1, 1, and then 4 and 5?
2 Peter 1, 1.
Yep. So we've all been allotted faith, okay? So we all have it, okay? We all have an allotment of faith. Now in verse 4 and 5, what do you do with this faith?
Through which he has granted to us precious and exceedingly great promises, that through these you might become partakers of the divine nature,
amen,
having escaped the corruption which is in the world by lust. And for this very reason also, adding all diligence,
so supplying faith. You need to be a partaker of the divine nature. How are you going to do it? You need a working, operating faith. Those in Laodicea had no working, operating faith. So what? They were poor. They had no gold. Lord, have mercy on us.
Amen.
We want to have our faith operating. What's one of the best ways to cause your faith to operate? Is to pray, read the Word.
Amen.
You want gold? Gold is in the Bible.
Amen.
The nature of God is in the Bible.
Amen.
You pray over the Word, the element of God Himself will get wrought into you.
Amen.
How many times? Who of you came here a little bit weak in your faith? Yeah. You get here, the Word of God's being spoken, you're praying, you're fellowshipping, you're like, I got no problem.
That's right.
I love the Lord.
Amen.
There's no problem at all. I'm good.
Yeah. Yeah.
You get your operating faith. Why? Because the divine nature got wrought into you. By you using your spirit of faith. Exercising to receive the Lord speaking. You got filled up. How many times you're in a meeting and the saints start singing and you're listening and like, oh, wow. And then all of a sudden your heart gets turned to the Lord. And you get filled with the Lord's love. What was that? That was the infusion of faith. The operating of faith. You know what happened? The divine element got into you.
Amen.
You get filled up.
Amen.
Okay, how do you get that faith? Faith comes by
hearing.
And hearing what? Gossip? That's a sir. No, hearing through the word of Christ. Why do we encourage you to sing with your mouth open? Why do we encourage you to pray loudly? Why do we encourage you to read the Bible audibly? The more you hear the word of Christ, the more you get filled with faith. The more faith you're enjoying, the more of the divine element is being wrought into you. No problem. No problem, right? You know what? You will be rich in the divine nature, in your experience, okay? So then, but it requires a price. And sometimes we count the price. We think, oh man, the price is pretty big. It's not that big. It's a little turn of your heart. Yeah, that is a price. Like, I'm not feeling it right now. Just turn a little bit. Exercise. Stretch yourself a little bit. This is, brother said, now let us pray. And we're like, oh man, here we got to pray again. Oh, we're going to sing. Well, I'm tired of singing. Oh, you're going to read through, read around. Do we really have to tonight? I mean, you know, it's been like 3 days straight. You going to pay a price? I mean, that's the kind of price it is. It's the turning of your heart. It's the turning and exercise to choose it. You know what? Sometimes you have to give up what you want. That's the paying of the price. You know how to buy? You'll say, Lord, I want to grow on with you. Lord, I want to grow in with you. I want to experience you. And the Lord says, okay. How about turn to me right now? You're like, I thought I was. No, but you're holding on to something. How about you drop that? Like, really, Lord? Yep. Just a little thing. Just drop that. Just let it go. There's a paying of a price. Either you choose to pay the price or you don't. You got, no, Lord, sorry, can't let go of that one right now. No, no. Okay. He's not going to force you. You have to buy. He doesn't force it on you. You buy. He can't cause you to buy. You have to buy. Right? So we need to be those that are willing to pay the price. Okay? Buy, refined by fire. White garments. What are garments in the Bible? The garments always represent our conduct and our living. What kind of garments are we wearing? What kind of conduct do we have? Hopefully, we're enjoying Christ and we're living out Christ. Right? But you have to pay a price for that. Your garment doesn't just come. There's a price involved. Right? Eyes have to anoint. We talked about the anointing spirit. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Sisters, repent. Repent a lot. Right? Then the Lord's warning to Laodicea. I'm about to spew you out of my mouth as many as I love. Isn't that awesome? I rebuke and I discipline. Okay, let's read the last F. Ready? Go. The Lord's. One. Does he care about Laodicea? Is he going to go, hey, I got to Philadelphia, Laodicea kept going, let it go. What a Lord we have. Sisters, sometimes you find yourself lukewarm. Do you ever find yourself lukewarm in your love toward the Lord, in your love toward the saints, in your love toward the Word? You're just kind of lukewarm. You know you should be hot. You know you should be boiling, but you're just lukewarm. And even you might have some recognition of it. And you kind of say, yeah, I'm kind of lukewarm. What do you need to do? Repent. Just tell the Lord, Lord, I'm lukewarm in my feeling toward you. Lord, can you make me hot? Will you make me hot? He said, I'm ready. I love. I'm ready to discipline. You know, I'm ready. I'm right there, ready for you. Anytime. Who has come to the Lord and ready to turn to the Lord, and the Lord said, not a good time. Lord, I want to repent. Not a good time. I'm on lunch. It's 11:30 at night. Not a good time. Not one time have I come to the Lord, and the Lord said, I'm ready. Anytime you're ready to repent, He's ready to love you. What a Lord we have. He didn't let Laodicea just go. He wants them to overcome. Amen. And to sit with Him on His throne. Amen. Actually, every promise to the overcomers at all the stages in all the churches, the overcomers experience all of it. It's not just like, oh, I was in Laodicea, so I get to sit with Him on the throne. So you don't get to eat of the hidden manna? And you don't get to enjoy the... What? No. Every single reward to the overcomer. If you're an overcomer, you get it. You enjoy it. You participate in it. So we should choose to be an overcomer.
Amen.
Sisters, choose to be an overcomer.
Yeah.
That's my choice.
Yeah.
Right? I want to be in Philadelphia. I want to be in the Church of Brotherly Love. I want to practice it in the twos and threes. I want it to become mine. Right? Why? Because our Lord is too wonderful.
Amen.
So, how about this? Isn't it incredible that the Lord had seven stages? You know why? Because this is our experience. We get hot for the Lord at the conference. We consecrate ourselves to the Lord. We're like, bring on the new year. I got two of these brothers around me. Oh, we're doing so good. And you do. And you are doing well. And the Lord is helping you, fanning you into flame. And you're enjoying morning revival. And you're going to the meetings of the church. And you're enjoying. And it's so precious. And then Tim stumbles. And we're like, Paul, where'd Tim go? Oh, let's go find him. Tim, why'd you stumble, brother? Oh, so it's okay. Come on, get up, Tim. And then we're going a little bit forward. And then Paul stumbles. Like, Paul, brother. Okay, come on, Paul. And then I stumble. And then next thing you know, all three of us are on the ground. Like, brothers, how did we get down here? What's wrong with us? We were doing so well. Okay, brothers, let's get back. Repent. Let's repent. Come back to the Lord again. Okay, then we go on a little. Until the Lord returns. You'll always need to repent. And the Lord has provided the way. And He's there full of love. He didn't go, oh, Tim, you fell. What's wrong with you? I thought my life was in you. What's wrong with you? My life's not strong enough? No element of condemning. Wretched, poor, blind, naked. I love you. Like what? I love you? Would not one open the door? Oh, right? We should have a heart. Lord, we want to open the door. Okay, this is very practical. You come to a young people's meeting. You're in the meeting. And it's like, whoa, okay, a little heavy here. And we're singing a song. I'm so happy in this lovely place. In the garden, growing in His grace. Like, you're looking around like, whoa, not so happy. Okay, it's right then. Will you open the door? You're like, yeah, pretty much lukewarm. Everybody. And the Lord's going. And you're like, well, not me, Lord. You mean just me turn a little bit? Me just open my mouth a little bit? Me speak a little something?
Yeah.
Actually, it's yes, you. It could be that one little prayer. You open the door, and you know what happens? The Lord's presence comes in.
That's right.
The next time you're singing the song, you realize, we're dining with Him.
Amen.
One person opened the door, and now the Lord's dining with us.
Amen.
I didn't open the door, but somebody did.
Amen.
He got in.
Amen.
It's very practical. Sister calls you for morning revival. Okay, it's week three, and I'm a little bit tired right now. Okay, so you say, no. No problem. She still calls the next day. Wow, man, she keeps calling. Okay. Okay, Lord. Okay. So you, sister, I'm just not feeling it. Just telling you right now. I'll listen to you pray. She prays. Okay, bye. Little indifferent about it. She didn't give up. Thank the Lord. She must be joined to the lover. Who has a heart for man. So then, it's like she calls again. You're like, give up on me already. Wretched, poor, blind, naked, miserable. What are you doing? You're joined to the lover. The lover loves. Wonderful. So sometimes you could be on the end. Other times, it's just the Lord's waiting for you. Right? So, sisters, it's not a small thing to have the realization and recognition. It doesn't take much. For the enemy to come in and cause things to not be sweet and fresh with the Lord. We want His presence, right? Lord, we want Your presence. We want a sweet, loving relationship with You. Amen. How about we just conclude by having some prayers? If you feel before the Lord, you'd like to pray something to the Lord, you can stand up. I would say don't be that long in your prayer. Just exercise to pray what's on your heart. Okay? I would say both the serving ones and the young people, stand and exercise to pray. We'll enjoy your prayer, and then we'll conclude our time at 9:15, okay?
Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Praise the Lord.
So the verse that you need to pray, read at your cabin time or your time in your home, is John 13:1. So that's your first verse to pray. John 13:1. You got some announcements for us?
Yes, it would be brief. Lawson Fund.
Yeah.
Anybody?
Sweater.
And when you finish, please, before you leave, put the phone book on the chair so we can collect it. Tomorrow morning, we will use only your phones in the outline.
Okay.
And for the Metroplex Saints, if you like to buy these phone books, you are welcome to. They're $6. And you can get them tomorrow. Also, tomorrow the brothers will join us.
Yeah.
So the restroom will return. Yes. The original use. So please don't go to the wrong restroom. But we have allocated two more restrooms on the other side for sisters only. So you have to go down half way to the hallway. There's two restrooms, single restroom stalls for sisters only. So you guys can go to those places.
What do they need to do in the morning? Do they need to bring all their stuff with them?
Right. When you leave your hospitality, you know, bring all your luggage unless you're able to go back to the rest. Yeah, otherwise, tomorrow come early because the brothers will come early and fight for the seat. So if you want to come early, and take the front row.
Amen.
That's right.
Yeah.
Thank you.